You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get 1 full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
But no one could ever point to Jesus. Even today, the enemies of Christ cannot point to any wrongdoing. So why is he hated? And I would submit to you, the most hated man on this planet. Why? Because he was light. Because he was righteous.
We're living in biblical times. And here are 5 Bible prophecies happening right now that we should all be paying attention to. Number 1. 2 Peter 3, verse 3 says, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts." A scoffer can be described as a person who mocks or makes fun of someone or something, often of religious or moral values.
But there has been an all-out pedal-to-the-metal war against faith in Christ. It's been pictured as arcane, ignoramus would follow it, science is the way to go.
When you look at television, the way that they mock Christians and Christianity.
In this day and age, it's quite apparent that every few weeks there seems to be an event, an individual, or an incident that mocks Christianity. Most recently, the Olympics drew a lot of controversy because of their opening ceremony. Every believer who knows their Bible should know that when we see the increase in the mockery of Christ, we're drawing closer to his return. When we see the moral decline of society, when we see evil being called good and good being called evil, when the spirit of Antichrist is so clearly at work, when it's so visible and out in the open, then we should all know that we are edging closer to his return. The second sign, Matthew 24, verse 6 says, You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Now just look at these headlines. There's plenty news out there covering wars and the threats of wars. There's uncertainty when it comes to the current state of international affairs. This is Bible prophecy being fulfilled, but the Bible tells us not to be alarmed, not to be frightened. The end is still to come. Number 3. Luke 21 verse 11 says, "There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven." Underline that word pestilences for a moment and consider the recent pandemic and the different variants of the virus. Now, there are some people who are of the opinion that the World Health Organization will be very influential in the world when it comes to dealing with pandemics. Now, while that remains to be seen, the WHO have been preparing for something called Disease X. Now, it's important to clarify, at the time of this video, there is no virus or bacteria circulating right now that is called Disease X. The WHO are preparing for the future. This is a hypothetical disease given the name Disease X. However, the fact that the world is already preparing for a future pandemic tells us that we're living in a day and age where pestilences are happening. Number 4. Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 12, "And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold." We can see an increase in many areas of lawlessness today. Many take advantage of the poor to get rich. Many commit vicious crimes out of impulse and for selfish gain. Many have a disregard for human life. You look at the television, you watch the news, and look at the entertainment industry, and you'll find that there is so much hatred, idolatry, and pride that has infiltrated our culture. And if you are not careful, it's easy to be influenced, swayed, and enticed by the evil around us. And unfortunately, in some pockets, increased lawlessness can even be seen in the church. There are groups of people within the church who live a life of judgment. They will not embrace sinners who sin in different ways than them. Instead of showing love and compassion, they show self-righteousness and condemnation. We need to ensure that we are people who do not let our love grow cold, but instead, we must have a deep love for God. Number 5. In Acts 2, verse 17, the Bible tells us that, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." Right now, despite what you may see on mainstream media sources, God is still at work in the world. The underground church in places like China and in other places where Christian persecution is high, many people...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
People are coming to Christ and believing. Just because the news doesn't show it, that doesn't mean it isn't happening. Now, even if this is the case, even if the world is approaching its final days, what are we supposed to do? Well, for starters, as Christians, what we should not be doing is running around in a panic like everyone else. We should not be giving into and encouraging this culture, constant fear. The Bible tells us the one thing that we should fear is God. Always remember, no matter how chaotic the world becomes, no matter how dangerous, God will still be in control.
What will happen over the next few months in 2024? What will be the global impact? What will be the economic impact? Just how close are we between peace and anarchy? Well, I'd like to offer a biblical perspective on some of the current events that are happening. For the Christian man or woman living in America, recent events may have left you feeling fearful and anxious. Do not fear. God is still in control, regardless of what happens. Now let me begin by telling you that it does nothing for you to focus on the many theories out there about who is working in the shadows or what dark secret organization is attempting to govern the world behind the scenes. This will do nothing for your peace of mind. I think every Christian in America and around the world can sense that there's a spiritual battle taking place. This is something you can prayerfully discern when you look at the world through the lens of the Bible. But as you're listening right now, I want to direct your focus to what the Word of God says. It already tells us that in the last days, perilous times will come. The word perilous, it means full of danger and full of risk. There seems to be unrest all around the world. And with it being an election year in the U.S., folks all around the world are tuned in and anxiously waiting to see what will happen in November. Regardless of what happens, regardless of what state you live in or your beliefs, many people can't help but wonder about the outcome and what follows. What will the global impact be? The world seems to be a dangerous place right now, and understandably, many people will ask the question, what other wars might be on the horizon? Further questions that people will definitely have are, what will happen economically? With concerns about inflation already, will it get worse? Will there be an economic collapse? Is there any financial stability to hope for? So, here's what you need to do. Don't focus on any conspiracy theories. Ignore those. There'll be people here, there, and everywhere sensationalizing every event, exaggerating every detail of anything that happens. But first and foremost, regardless of what's happening, regardless of what could happen, believers in Christ are commanded not to fear.
Look at the faces of these people. These are the faces of people who are filled with anger. They are the faces of people who are drowning in sin, but have no desire to repent. These are the faces of people with ice-cold hearts and sensitive hearts. We read a lot about Bible prophecy concerning the end times. We know about the strange signs in the sky. We know about wars and rumors of wars. We even know about the great apostasy where many turn away from the faith. But what you're about to hear is the Bible's most serious prophetic warning about the type of people that you will see in the last days. There's a lot of warnings in the Bible. Warnings concerning how you should be living your life. Warnings about the devil and his strategies. There are warnings about the type of company you should be keeping. But I want to focus on the warnings in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The warnings in this chapter are incredibly powerful because they focus on the culture of today and on society. 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about the last days. And I feel as though the theme of the chapter is captured in the first verse because the Bible says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." The Amplified translation says, "But understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come, difficult days that will be hard to bear." As you read through the chapter, several things become clear. In the last days, there's a total rejection of God in this world. Anything the Word of God stands for will be rejected. There will be a time when people will want to have their ears tickled. They'll want a gospel that gives the blessing but doesn't require repentance. They want a gospel that preaches prosperity, not sacrificial living. And there's a lot of this right now. A lot of people prefer to have their ears tickled instead of receiving the pure gospel that will penetrate the heart and challenge every sinful behavior in your life. Now, to add to the corruption that will be in the world, 2 Timothy 3 tells us there'll be a total breakdown of society because people will be treacherous, rash, slanderous, brutal, disobedient to parents, abusive, and without self-control. No rules, no moral absolutes, no restraints of any kind. Everyone will do that which is right in their own eyes, and woe to the person who dares to question anyone's lifestyle choices. Now, verse 5 says that people will have a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. This is the age of religious rebels. Men and women who have the outward appearance of godliness, but deep down in their hearts are full of sin and deceit. Religious rebels will ask all the right questions, but watch their actions because they will follow all of the wrong answers. Religious rebels may go as far as quoting Scripture, but their hearts will be far from God and even further from His Word. When you read 2 Timothy 3, go through the list of how people in society will be. The Bible tells you people will be lovers of self, meaning they'll be narcissistic and self-focused. And this is obviously against the command to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. People will be lovers of money, impelled by greed. How much of this do we see in this day and age? How much greed is there in this world? Yet the Word of God tells us to be free from the love of money. As you go further and further down the list, you'll find that people are described as unloving, devoid of natural human affection, boastful and arrogant. So as Christians, I want you to answer the following questions. As an individual, are you standing firm in a pagan world? Will you let society control how you'll act or how you'll live your life? Will you follow the crowd and the majority as they love themselves more than they love God? Be careful that you're not found with the characteristics named in 2 Timothy 3. Be careful that unbelieving and unfaithful and uncaring people don't change you. Beware of the false prophets and false doctrines and false teachers because they will try and poison your thinking and dismantle your faith. In these last days, make sure that you're ready for His return.
And do not be like the world, but let the world see Christ through you. The behavior of this world does not surprise God. The standards and immorality of this world does not catch God by surprise. And let me tell you this, it shouldn't surprise us as the Church of Christ either. And so, for the Christian who's listening, what are you to do? How will you survive the conditions described in 2 Timothy 3? Well, the chapter ends in verse 16 and 17 saying this, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The truth of the Word of God can save you, forgive you, justify you, sanctify you, purify you, transform you, regenerate you, and one day it will take you all the way home to heaven for all eternity. Everything we need to know about life with God can be found in the pages of the Bible. If we had needed to know anything else, God would have told us. The Bible is complete as it stands, a finished product that will produce in us a new life, a godly life, a growing life, a fruitful life, a loving life, a Christ-like life, eternal life, the very life of God Himself. Now the Bible says in Revelation 3, verse 2 to 3, "Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you." The Bible is calling us to wake up. The Lord wants us to wake up to the fact that there is a heaven and a hell. There is a day of judgment. If someone's driving down the road and they doze off or their attention wanders, they could very well miss some of the road signs telling them where to go. Well, God has given us, His children, many signs to watch out for. The Word of God is filled with signs to let us know that time is wrapping up. This world will not last forever. However, until that day comes, the Lord has provided us with road signs to warn us that the time is near. He has provided us with clear signs so that we should know the end is near. The Bible tells us that people will pop up claiming to be the Christ or to be the Messiah, but it warns us not to listen. In other words, when Jesus returns, we won't have to go around telling each other about it because everyone will know. When the Lord returns, there's no need for anyone to make a video and announce it. We'll all see Him in the clouds in all His glory and majesty. Luke 21, verse 9 says, "But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. The wise among us will be watchful. They'll see the signs of the times before they study God's word. But the foolish will fall asleep. They'll miss the signs because of a lack of knowledge." That's why it's incredibly important for us to take heed of God's word. Take heed of the biblical warnings we've been given. Have you ever come across a passage of Scripture that tells you to pay special attention? Well, one such passage is found in Mark 13, verse 28 to 33. And as I read this passage, I want you to visualize the imagery that's being painted right here in the Word of God, which says, "Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things taking place, you can know that His return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene before all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son Himself. Only the Father knows. And since you don't know when that time will come, be on guard. Stay alert." Now, when the Word of God tells us to take heed, It's telling us to pay special attention. It's telling us to pay careful consideration regarding what's being said, especially when it comes to the return of Jesus. And how does one take heed, you may ask? Well, the Bible says, take heed, watch, and pray. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you watching? Are you praying? Are you observing what the Bible says concerning the signs of His coming? Are you praying for discernment or for the Holy Spirit to open your spiritual eyes? When it comes to these days that we're living in, I believe that the Word of God is continuously telling us to take heed that we're not living in sin, because there will be a day of judgment. I believe we are to take heed and make sure that we seek first the kingdom of God. And more importantly, because of the day and age we live in, I believe the Bible is telling us to take heed because in the last days, perilous times shall come. The word perilous means full of danger or full of risk. Danger when it comes to our health as a human. Danger or risk when it comes to the economy or nature itself. But that's not all. We're to take heed when we notice that men are lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, unthankful, unholy. And we can only see that society is in this state if we are watching and praying. Another instance where the Bible tells us to take heed is in Matthew 24, verse 4, which says, "And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you." Once again, you and I are being told to take heed. Be careful that no one deceives you. This means there will come a time when there will be a prevalence of deception. But once again, how do we guard ourselves? Through watching and praying. Pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth. Pray for God to guide you into all truth.
There is a flood coming, a wave. We're told in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, that therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. The devil knows, and he understands that his time is short. His days are numbered, and so he is coming with an anger. He's coming for the believers, trying to get them to backslide. He's coming for those who are on fire for God, and he's trying to get them to a state of being lukewarm. He's coming for the family and for the home, all so that he can steal, kill, and destroy. But the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Meaning that should the devil try to flood your life, then in Jesus' name, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Whatever the flood may be, God will raise a standard against him. You have a deliverer in Jesus. You are on higher ground when you stay in the presence of the Lord. You have a defense in Jesus, an impenetrable fortress, and no flood from the devil can harm you. At some point in life, most people will hear the term the good old days. And in most instances, it's a reference to a time period that people remember fondly. Our grandparents always believed that the days they grew up and lived in were far better than this present day. Likewise, our parents talk about how things were when they were coming up, and how they were different and better than the things that exist today. Matthew 24, verse 37 to 38, the Bible reads, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. The days of Noah. From generation to generation, would you say that society as a whole has been improving morally and spiritually since the days of Noah? Or would you say that society has been declining morally since the time of Noah? During the days of Noah, the Bible says in Genesis 6, verse 5, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." How does this generation compare? If sin was prevalent in those days, what should we make of this present day? If the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the days of Noah, then what does he think of today? We've had a boom in technology, the kind of technology that makes it easier to sin in many different ways. We've had society glamorize sin through celebrities and entertainment. So if the days of Noah were bad, what about today? Could this current generation be the most wicked known to man, at least since the flood? Jesus did not refer to the days of the past, the days of Noah, as the good old days. But instead, he referred to them as a time that we could look at as a means to understanding his second coming. For Christians, this might inspire us to want to ask the question, exactly how bad was the generation that existed in the final days before the flood? In speaking of his own return, Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 37 to 39, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Jesus desired to let his followers know that if we could discern and understand the times leading up to the flood, then perhaps we could discern and understand the season in which he, Jesus, would return. It's all about having the awareness to know that when these things start happening, when people become comfortable and start pushing God out of their lives, when sin and wickedness is the norm, when you start to feel the birth pains, then you know that the return of Christ is near. So what was it like during the days of Noah? What was it like before the destruction of mankind? The book of Genesis tells us that the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Bible also teaches that all mankind was corrupt and that the earth was a wretched place. Genesis 6, verse 11 and 12 says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth, so the earth was filled with violence." All flesh had corrupted their way. Way up to those descriptions against the world today. However, in and amongst all that was going on, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Noah was described as perfect and just in his generation. He was described as a man who walked with God, and because of this, he was saved. In this day and age, ask yourself, as a man or woman of God, am I a Noah in this sin-filled world? Am I walking with Jesus? Am I practicing righteousness? Or am I to be found sitting and dining on the same table as those who willingly sin against God? Though God's intent was to destroy the evil that controlled the hearts and minds of his creation, he did not intend to annihilate his greatest creation as a whole, which is why he saved Noah. God's heart has always been to reconcile sinners back to a state of righteousness. He wants us to spend all of eternity with Him. But all too often, we're not paying attention to His Word, which tells us how to live and what to watch out for in times like these.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear FIGS. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts, and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your FIGS? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast? Wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, Sponsored Jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.